the snap. Third and three. He's got it. Blitz coming. DeQuell Jackson missed him. And now they're going to hit him and sack him. They got him. Jamal Sheard.
Well, they just overpowered the Ravens offensive line.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Even though it's the bye week, folks, you can stay connected to the Cleveland Browns with the latest news, photos, videos, and more. Visit clevelandbrowns.com, download our mobile app, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Browns, and on Instagram at Official Browns. You'll be getting great content from my man, Notorious V.I.C. Vic Carucci, Matt Florjancic, and many, many others at clevelandbrowns.com. So be sure to tune in, get all the latest videos. If you missed overtime last night, you can get that on the website as well. And you can also get this show on demand for yourself on the website at clevelandbrowns.com. So it's pretty much one-stop shopping for all your Browns needs there.
It is.
You heard from Coach Chudd, and I like so many of the things he said. It was a team win, the you know, just the camaraderie of the guys coming together, all phases working as one, and also using this bye week to reassess what they can do better as coaches. And I think they've done a remarkable job, and they're one of the best coaching staffs in the league already. And so to have 2 weeks to know to prepare for what is, you know, at that point going to be the biggest game that the Browns have played in a long, long time is an exciting thought, I think, for Browns fans.
It is. And I think it's the demeanor and approach, too, that we keep coming back to with him. But you always want to see how the leaders of this team, how the leaders of any team react through the circumstances. So you had a three-game losing streak. You had an incredibly frustrating game last week where they played a half of football and left knowing that a full game would have led to a victory over the lone unbeaten team in the NFL on the road. And I think Rob Chudzinski's approach to that was he said all the right things, but how he said it, what the look was in his eye, and you just didn't see a guy unraveling. You didn't see a guy who felt, hey, this is a three-game losing streak, and do I still have a handle on this? He's a first-year head coach. Do I still have a grip on this team? Do people still believe in what we're doing? Because that's a lot harder to sell when you don't have victories to sell. But I think the way that game played out and the nature of Chudd, how he continues to reinforce his plan, his vision to these players, is what continues to maintain their level of trust and credibility. And then you have a game like yesterday. It's euphoric. I mean, people were going bonkers who were in that stadium, and it was wonderful to see. It was incredible to see a lot of exuberance, a lot of celebration. This has been a fun place to be here in Berea today, a bounce in everyone's step. Just that whole sense of you got something to savor, and you know what the meaning of it was and the magnitude of it was. But Rob Chudzinski comes in here, and Nathan, he just is the same guy he was a week ago, and that's what I want to see. You see, if you see him overreact to anything, and I don't even know if overreact is in his dictionary. I mean, he can get animated. I watched him on the sidelines challenging with the officials and barking about the time that was not being expended from the clock in the latter stages of that game. But on a defensive penalty, he checked it within 5 minutes. The clock does stop. He was looking for the clock to keep rolling. And he says, you know, that's pretty confusing kind of rule, but it is a new a little tweak to the rule book. But that's the kind of guy he is. He's on top of things. I just like the fact that he's stable and even keeled.
He is the same guy, and I got the opportunity to come in here right after you had spoken with him for, you know, the second week in a row. And last week it was a tough loss. This week it was a great win. Obviously he's happier this week, but in terms of his overall demeanor, it's very much the same. He's very much the same guy. And that kind of consistency is great for a leader because your players know what they're going to get from you every single week. And I think that's very important, especially when you really think about how young a lot of these guys truly are and where they are in their phase of life. So it's a very calming influence that I think Rob Chudzinski has, and it's a very good one. And let me just talk about a couple things, if I may, real quickly. Number one, I hated when the Ravens were doing the LeBron James fake powder toss after their sacks and doing all that.
That was push.
That was garbage. But you know what? Listen, I also appreciate, as a wrestling fan, I can appreciate some good showmanship and some good heel tactics, and that's what that certainly was. And it pissed me off, but it made it so much more satisfying when they went home losers, by the way.
Real quick footnote to that was MJD did that for with Jacksonville. He pulled that same kind of thing, Maurice Jones-Drew,
uh-huh.
Just for the record. I distinctly remember that. couple of years
back. MJD. Well, yeah. They're doing pretty good down in Jacksonville.
Exactly. So. See where that got him.
Yeah, exactly. See where that got him. See where it got you, Terrell Suggs. And I like T-Sizzle, but, I mean, you know, it's good. When you see it, it's funny and everything, but I'm glad that the Browns took care of the business. And then the second thing was, you know, watching the game, and there had been talk about, you know, Josh Gordon's on-field demeanor. I want to say I thought this was the best on you know, field demeanor I've ever seen from Josh Gordon, considering how uninvolved he ultimately was in terms of his statistics. I think he was very involved and did his job clearing things out for other people. I noticed on the touchdowns to Devon Bess and Gary Barnidge, he would sprint over to be one of the first people to congratulate them. I like that. I think that what happened with Justin Blackmon very well could be a wake-up call for Josh Gordon.
Hope so.
Knowing that they didn't trade him and they want him here has been good for Josh Gordon. I thought I saw, for a guy who didn't have the 100-yard game, he didn't have the touchdown, I thought I saw a great team player in Josh Gordon in his demeanor on the field in this game against the Ravens, and I loved it.
Yeah, I did too. You're right about that. It's another sign of maturity and growth, and to have Josh Gordon, to also have Jordan Cameron be among the first to congratulate Gary Barnidge after his touchdown catch, you know, those are the small things that are really bigger things. They say something about sort of the bonding of this team, too. And I like how it comes together. They didn't plan it this way, but to have the sage veteran quarterback, that 9-year guy in Jason Campbell, who also, like the head coach, is a very understated, very professional person, handles himself so well. Just his demeanor. You talk about the right demeanor, and you could see why younger players and even older teammates, why they would respond to that, why they would respect that, because
sure,
it's a different feel. And I'll say this, it's not like it was when you looked at Brandon Whedon, it wasn't his personality that was the thing that you noticed, because it was somewhat nondescript. He was just kind of doing his thing, doing his job. I think likable. I didn't get any vibe that anybody didn't like being around him. It, with him, it was all about his play. But when you're delivering on the field the way Campbell is, then the rest of it is also responding to the person, and it's how he handles things in the huddle, how he handles things on the sideline, and that you just sense it's a calmness, a coolness, and it's not so cool. It's not too cool for school. It's not being over the top. It's just being, look, I got this. We know what we're doing, and I know what I'm doing, and everyone sort of around me, just let's get on board and keep it going. And then when other players see a player do what he did, where you could barely breathe, they know he's hurting. He's trying to talk in that press conference. He was trying to talk with me on the Browns Overtime show on Sports Time Ohio. He was struggling to he was taking deep breaths between sentences because it hurt. And to know that he was dealing with that, and by the way, players know that they're dealing with their own hurts too, but they respect that the quarterback does that. It carries a little more weight when the QB does it.
It does, and that's the veteran leadership that he showed both on the field and his demeanor and his toughness and his willing to go through. It does a lot for this team. There, clearly, we used the word galvanizing last week. Jason Campbell and what he has meant to this team has clearly galvanized the Cleveland Browns to some degree, and I think when he goes out there, plays through pain like he did, it's only going to further cement that he is a guy who, you know, we had him in here. He's not the most outspoken, brash, loud guy, but his quiet confidence, and he does have a kind of a natural leadership ability to him. It's going to continue to carry this team.
There was something, too, about his predecessor, I think this was a challenge for Pat Shurmur. It was that he wore his heart so much on his sleeve. His emotions were so out there. When you're going through what is likely going to be some very difficult times as a first-year and then second-year head coach, that doesn't serve you well. In fact, it blows up on you. It works against you. I think that's when you need to have the tightest grasp on your emotions. We're seeing that with Rob Chudzinski. This is year number one as a head coach. Like his predecessor, he's been an assistant in this league. He's observed different people. But and it's interesting because Pat Shurmur was with about as even-keeled a guy as you could have in Andy Reid. He spent the most time as an assistant around him. But you are who you are. You're hardwired how you're hardwired. Pat Shurmur is an emotional man, and I thought that countered what he needed to be to be successful. The way he handled in the media and other places. Rob Chudzinski, has he heard his share of tough questions and tough situations and second-guessing? Heck yeah. And does he do more things that prompt you to talk about decisions made in-game? Those in-game calls, you know, these gutsy, somewhat crazy at times calls that you make. Yeah, those are the kinds of things that prompt a lot of discussion the next day. And guess what? After a loss, there's a whole different tone to second guessing. But he doesn't. I'm going to say he doesn't care. He can't care. He's got to believe that what he's doing is the right thing, and he trusts that and sticks with that. And I think that speaks to largely why this team, 9 games into a season, finds itself still in contention. Is George still on hold on his cell? Let's go to George. Hey, George.
Hey guys. Just a comment and a question for you. First of all, it was great to see them make the plays at the key times of the game yesterday that they haven't been making in the past. I think that was probably the best part of the whole game. My question is, you know, I watched 2 or 3 games yesterday, and my question is, I'm seeing running backs, especially when they're isolated on the field against either a cornerback or one of the DBs, I'm seeing a lot of the running backs initiate the contact and lead with their helmet. Now, if the defensive player does that, he gets flagged. But I watched yesterday 2 or 3 times where the running back was heading out of bounds and he initiated the contact against the tackler, and he basically speared him. He led with his helmet. Now, I'm wondering how running backs can get away with that where a defensive back, whether they be a cornerback or whatever, can't do it.
They're not supposed to. Again, in those particular circumstances you're describing, so heading out of bounds or in those areas, you're still in action, still in a field of play. Not supposed to. You're not supposed to. The rules were very explicit this year, rule adjustment, and it was in reference to the Trent Richardson play that happened against the Philadelphia Eagles last year, where he basically de-helmeted the defender. So it's the same type of principle that you're talking about. I would say to you, though, that, and this was the concern a lot of people had, Nathan, going into this, is that officials weren't going to be sure how to officiate that, and there was a lot of concern that they would probably keep their flags in their pocket at times because it would be, you know, an unusual call, at what point do you make the offensive player, the running back, the aggressor rather than the so-called victim of a hit?
Right, and it hasn't really happened. It hasn't come into play this year, and it's a thing that people were worried about, the officiating of it, and thus far, has it even been called? Has it been called yet?
I'm going to try to find that out. It probably won't be till after the show, but I will ask that question now that the caller brought it up. It's a fair point to make that if you're looking to initiate contact in the lowering of the helmet, then you again, you're not supposed to get away with that. I mean, that's to his question. It is supposed to be called, but I'd be surprised if I saw it called at all or very often. And overall, you know, I didn't have a big problem with the officiating yesterday. I mean, there might have been some things here and there, but for the most part, my sense was that it was a very physical. It wasn't an easy game to officiate because it got so physical and chippy. And the Browns, as much as the Ravens, were initiating the chippiness. I mean, they played a very physical, aggressive game. I didn't think they played a dirty game aggressively, but they were aggressive, and those are challenging games to officiate.
But I liked that because I think that was one of the things that this Ravens team tried to do, was try to be a little bit intimidating, this Browns team was not intimidated. They were not having that, and I liked that about this Browns team. They are as physical as anybody that they're going to face, and I love that. I think that is great.
What did they say to the Ravens when they did that? They said,
Good day, sir. Good day, sir. Get out of here. You're not the same Ravens, we're not the same Browns.
Gerard Cherry coming up. We won't say good day, sir, to him, but we'll say, Gerard, welcome aboard in a few minutes.
A nice good day.
A nice good day, because we got to get Gerard's takes.
Like Australia.
On this game. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura. Good day. CBD.